The word that the Lord has placed on my heart for us tonight is not a new word. It is a restatement of what the Lord has been saying to us over and over and over and over again. It is to remind us of this cardinal truth that with God, nothing shall be impossible. We live in a world where the word impossible seems to be so prevalent. Face so many situations and things look impossible. What do you do? I had an interesting situation this afternoon after service, after we'd done what we needed to do here. I went to my car, and normally I'll touch the door, and because I have the key on me, the door will open. It didn't open. I tried, and it wouldn't open. So I used my fob, and I tried to open it. And still, it will not open. And I'm there in the cold. I'm there like 2-3 minutes, trying to open this thing. And it dawned on me, there's one more thing I can try. See, because on the door, there's no key. There's no key hole for you to stick a key into. So I said, I'm going to do it another way. This thing that looked impossible at this particular point, God used what was right here with me. And it would not open, so I went to my phone. I looked for the app, and I opened it from the app. And I waited. And sure enough, it opened. I had gone up, hit some satellite, and had opened the car. Sometimes you can try everything you know how to try in this realm, and nothing seems to work. You got to go up higher to do what you got to do down here. I was away, and I needed my car had not been started, so I'm away in some other country. And I decided I'm going to start my car. Get it warmed. Winnipeg is cold. So I started my car from another country. How did I do it? I went up. I was not physically there to do it. I had to go another way. And today I don't know what faces you, what challenges face you. But the word I bring to you is you need to go on to the higher power to resolve that situation, because what you are doing right now is not working. Just like what I was doing, you know, sometimes you have a situation, you solved it, and you have another situation, you solve it, and it used to work, and now you are in a situation where what you used to try is no longer working. With man, things can be impossible. But with God, nothing, nada. Nothing. Luke 1:37. For with God nothing shall be impossible. I need to remind myself and not only let you know that to be true, I need to remind myself on a daily basis, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Cast all of your burdens and your cares upon the Lord. He cares for you. Because in life, you can try to place your trust in man, in chariots that used to work, but you place your faith in the chariots of men, you will face disaster. Sooner or later, the wheels are falling off. Or the horse has fallen down because it's thirsty or whatever. And now you've got a cart or a chariot that's going nowhere. The prophet of God, Elisha, said to Ahab, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. And he says to him, take off with your chariot. Get home quickly because there's going to be a downpour. Just take off. So Ahab gets on his chariot and is riding, furiously going back home. And here comes Elijah, just running, and overtakes a chariot. That's not manpower. That's God's power. What you and I need today is God's power. We don't need horsepower. We need God's power. Because horsepower will fail you, and it's too slow for what God wants to do in your life and in my life today. We need the supernatural operational in our lives. What need faces you today? What is overwhelming you today? What is such a huge challenge to you today? Please don't just hear words. Hear the Spirit of God. With God, nothing shall be impossible. Where does he make this statement? He makes it concerning a woman called Elizabeth that was old and had no children. No child. Mary has been told about Elizabeth. Because Mary's just been told about what she was going to have. She was going to have a baby. But she's a virgin. And God is telling her, you are going to be overshadowed. And what is found in you shall be this holy thing, the Son of God. The Lord has been saying to us that there is going to be a manifestation. This is the season of the manifestation of God. And when we look at ourselves, when I forget about you, when I look at me, I see only impossibilities. How God can any good thing come out of here? I don't care how good I think I am. Everywhere I look, I see issues, I see problems. I see people that are blind, deaf, crippled, burnt up, 10-degree, 4-degree burns, all kinds of craziness all around. And I look at problems and I say, how can I be an answer? Look at this guy. Both legs are amputated. He has no arms. He has no legs. How can there be life for this one? How can this one walk? And God says, in the manifestation of my glory, I can make legs grow out and arms grow out, and I can put new, brand new eyeballs, and I can do all kinds of things. And I say, oh God, help me. Help me. Because we are in the setting and in the days that God is going to blindside science and everything that man is doing and come forth with a miraculous and instantaneous move of the Spirit of God. And all we can do is, with God, nothing shall be impossible. He can clean me up. Microscope and whatever scope, EEG and whatever else is telling a different story. And God comes in and says, erase. You need 6 months of chemotherapy. And God comes and says, what therapy? What did they say? Who said that? Well, they looked and they tested, and that's what they said. That's what they said, but what I say, with God, nothing shall be impossible. That's what God is saying to us, that when in the natural it looks so impossible, that God can step into our circumstance and turn things around. The angel answered and said unto her, when Mary said, how is this going to be? How can this be? Saying, I know not a man. How are you telling me I'm going to have a child? That is a power of understanding, because she was engaged. So if the angel says, you're going to have a child, hey, praise the Lord. I'm going to have a child. I'm going to have a fruitful, blessed marriage. But somehow she connected beyond the natural and connected to the language that the angel, I have an understanding of what the angel was really saying. How can this be, seeing that I know not a man? Angel answered, said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. In other words, the Holy Ghost is going to visit you, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, because the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you, and the power of the highest shall overshadow you, therefore, also, because of that, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Pastor, you're talking about Christmas. This is not the message for Christmas. No. This is beyond Christmas. You see, when Jesus is born in your heart, that's Christmas. Every day is Christmas. Hallelujah. The point is that God is a God that knows no impossibilities. Whether you are barren, and I've gone through the natural systems of man and nothing worked, or you've not even started going in the natural way of man, God says, you're going to have a child, and it's not going to be based on natural laws. It's going to be based on the fact that I said so. And that's all you and I can stand on. On a daily basis, what did God say? What did God say? Because when you know what God said, then you can experience what he said. He says, and behold, if you have a doubt now, let me help you. Thank God he helps us. He says, if you have a doubt about this, behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she had also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her. She's been pregnant for 6 months. Who was called barren? Who was called barren? Who was called barren? Called barren. You cannot have a child. All the natural law says you cannot have a child. You were once young and now you're old and nothing has changed. You barren woman. Can you imagine being described in those terms? That somebody is looking for Elizabeth's house and someone will say, listen, go down that corner and make a left turn, and when you make that left turn, ask the people in that area, where is the house of the barren woman? When your problem is now synonymous with your name, your person, you got issues. Even the angel said, who was called barren? Who was called a drug addict? Who was called an alcoholic? Who was called a prostitute? Who was called an armed robber? Who was called a leper? Who was called? And the next statement is not a positive statement. That's when you think, my goose is cooked. Nothing is going to work for me. I give up. And God says, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. You know that guy who got bankrupt? This is his seventh time. His credit score is like nothing. Who was called broke? Who was called welfare? Who was called the man sleeping under the bridge? Who was called? God, how am I going to get out of this mess? And God says, with man things are impossible, but with God nothing shall be impossible. But you know what? What else? He says, if you believe, nothing shall be impossible unto you. People who believe end up knowing no impossibilities. And that's where God wants you and I today, to believe him, to believe his word, to receive what he has to say, and recognize that with him, nothing shall be impossible, and for you, nothing shall be impossible, because he is God in your life and in my life. Hallelujah. In Matthew 19 and verse 26. Jesus, our Lord, is faced with a situation. He says, Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible. With men, this problem here is impossible, but with God, all things, someone say all things are possible. With men, this may be impossible, but with God, all things are possible. There are no impossibilities with God. I think my financial situation is a total mess. It's impossible to get out of debt. And God says, with me, nothing is impossible. I can get you out of debt just like that. Hang with me. Just hang with me. Just believe me. You can have debt cancellation. You can come to a place of the overflow. How? Because of his presence. Because of his anointing that destroys the yoke, removes the burden, and destroys the yoke of impossibility. In Genesis 18, beginning to read from, well, let me take it off from about, I'll just start from there, from verse 1. The verse I need is around verse 10. It says, and the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, that's to Abraham, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. I'm not going to spend my time going through those details. There's so much information there. But this part I want you to see. I've said this before, and I'm going to restate it again for those who may just be listening to this particular message and have not had the opportunity to hear this message in full. He says, and he lifted up his eyes and looked. He lifted up his eyes and he looked. And lo, three men stood by him. He lifted up his eyes and he looked. He lifted up his eyes and he looked. And behold, there are three men who stood by him. So it's there, he's looking, but at the same time, three men are standing by him. This is the realm of the spirit. Because in the natural, it's impossible for you to be looking out at people over there and them being with you here. He says, and when he saw them, he ran to meet them. They are here with you. Why are you running to meet them? Well, because in the realm of the spirit, he was locking in on the answer to his problem. And I believe that no one is here today by accident. That there is something that you need in your life, something that I need in my life, that I need to lock into right now and see it as already completed already. Because seeing those three men standing by him was locking into the fact that it was already finished. The problem was already solved. It was happening in the realm of the spirit. It was happening inside of him. But in the natural, the help was still some distance away. And he did not even know that that was his answer. But somehow it was here. He ran to meet them from the tent door. And he bowed himself toward the ground. And verse 3 says, and said, my Lord, If now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. That is the realm of the spirit, being discerning. He's not met these guys before, but something inside of him, the Noah inside of him, knew something that his natural mind did not know. He knew inside of him. There's three guys here. One of them is my Lord. He knew God was there. How he knows, he doesn't know. But he knew. Have you ever been in a situation where you just know that you know something, but you don't know why you knew what you knew? That is something that you and I need to harness, hone into, being discerning, locking into God's will and not knowing why you're going in this direction. had a situation, had well, a particular thing in my house that had served its time, so to speak, and wasn't working anymore, and I called and found out that I still had some warranty on it and they were going to replace it. But somewhere in the back of my mind, I sensed I needed to change this equipment from the way that I was, let me put it this way, I had a gas tank, water heater, that leaked. So something saying inside, you need to change this thing, go electrical. But I still have warranty in here. But go electrical. So I sent my panel information to the people that were going to be helping me. They said, oh, you don't have space. You don't have space in your breaker, whatever it is called. Huh? Yeah, the electrical room, the board or whatever, I don't know what you call that thing. The panel, thank you very much, the panel. But the Lord is saying, go that route. But if I go that route, I am going to lose my warranty over here. And I'm buying new equipment and all of that. And go that route. Lo and behold, the person who was coming to fix my stuff, you know, he starts showing me electrical stuff. What I need is gas. The tank is right there. We just need to move this to that. And I checked the pricing. Because with this new replacement, there's legislation now for a different way of venting the hot water tank. And that's going to cost me another $2,000. Okay. I'm looking at the electrical that something that they know has sent me. Go this route. I'm looking at it. I started making some calculations. I calculated. If I change, I will be still paying less than venting this thing out with the electrical. I said, let's change. So I changed it. And I saved myself some bucks. Are you with me? I could have gone the old way and still be paying and still have no hot water. But by the leading of God, I got what I needed at under the cost. And guess, watch this, this is interesting. The other tank only has 6 years warranty. The one that I now have is a lifetime warranty. So anytime anything goes wrong with my tank, I just give them their tank and I get another tank and voila, problem solved. Are you with me? It's called discernment. Somebody say discernment. Logging into God's wavelength. Logging into God's wavelength. On what God is doing, how He's doing, and remember my panel? There was space in there. The panel was all filled, but there was one that they had written on second air conditioner. But I don't have two air conditioners. I only have one air conditioner, and it was exactly the amperage that I needed. God knew that I'm going to have a problem at such and such a time, but He had already gone ahead to solve the problem. Point, child of God, the problem that you are trying to resolve, God has already resolved it before you got to it. It's already resolved. You know why we drive ourselves crazy? We think that whatever it is that's happening, whatever it is that we came to right now, God also just came to it right now. No, God already knew about it before the problem ever began. And he's already resolved it. That's why he says, before you pray, I've already answered. Oh, my God. You mean, before I prayed, you already... Yeah, I already answered your prayer before you even knew that you had a prayer. With God, nothing shall be impossible. But when you think in your natural mind, your own way, you think that the whole world is falling apart. He says, I hold everything in my hand. The whole world is like a drop of water on a bucket, like a grain of sand on the scale, this whole world. We fly and we fly and we fly and we fly and we fly for hours. God sees the whole thing one shot. He knows every single person, every single ant, every single hair on everybody's head. He knows every single detail. And he's not overwhelmed. He's not overwhelmed. You got some little problem, and oh my God, what are we going to do now? Oh God, I am dead. What are you talking about? Got no problem. Let me skip down. Verse 4. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree, and now fetch morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass, for therefore are ye come to your servant. You came to your servant to be ministered to. And he said, so do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened to the tent. Sarah said, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf tender and good and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk and calf which he had dressed and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And he said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. Verse 10. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. That statement there meant that Sarah was going to have a baby in 9 months. That's the time of life. And they left. And if you remember me sharing with you, I said to you that Isaac, in this impossible situation, that the God who made this statement recognized how impossible in the natural it was for her to have the baby. But he is going to get involved. Because we know in Genesis 21 that he came and visited Sarah. But when he came, that was not the time of life. Time of life is 9 months from now. Are you with me? And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. In other words, God, just like he did with Jesus, are you with me? And Mary, God came and overshadowed Sarah. Because it was an impossible situation. There's some things that are impossible with man. There's nothing man can do. It's impossible. Only God. And I tell you that we need God to overshadow us so that that which is found in us, that which we birth, becomes a representation of who he is. Amen? It says in verse 2, for Sarah conceived, why God visited her, and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. The set time is 9 months from now. God fulfilled his word. In essence, Isaac became a representation of who Jesus is going to be for us. So God was able to ask Abraham, Abraham, sacrifice your son. Theologians say that it's possible that Isaac, at the time that Isaac was going to be sacrificed, was possibly about 30 plus years old. He was not a little kid. He was a grown-up man. Why did God ask that? Because this was the type of who Jesus is. Jesus was going to go on the cross. He was going to be that sacrificial lamb. So God asked for that son. Let me wrap up with this. Look at how Isaac is described. The first description of Isaac by his sons. Come with me to Genesis chapter 31. Genesis chapter 31 and verse 42. Genesis 31 verse 42. Genesis 31 and verse 42. It says here, except the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the what? The fear of Isaac. The only thing that God says we need to fear is God. But Isaac, in the description, is being addressed and the fear of Isaac. Are you with me? Could have just been the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac. This is the fear of Isaac. Verse 53, this is how Isaac is first being described. The God of Abraham, the God of Nahor, the God of their father judged between us, and Jacob swore by the what? Fear of his father, Isaac. This is how Isaac is first being described. The fear of Isaac. The fear of his father, Isaac. Because this man, Isaac, was unique. There was something about him that was not ordinary. God himself had overshadowed Sarah. And that which she bore broke the stronghold of impossibilities. May God rest upon us that we break the stronghold of impossibilities. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, man says this is impossible and that is impossible. This cannot be done and that cannot be done. And this is going to take so long and so on and so forth. Based on the view of man, there are so many impossibilities. But with you, there are no impossibilities. You make a commitment and you honor it. You said to David, David, you are always going to have a son on the throne. When in the natural that was not possible, you made yourself the son of David to make certain that what you said becomes the reality. Lord, you know all the impossible things that we face. You are the Word, and the Word produces things. So, Lord, today we rest upon your eternal grace and we say, let your word produce whatever it is that we need for every aspect of our lives. For you are the I am that I am. Be the I am breakthrough for us today. Be the I am abundance for your people today. Be the I am your husband to your people today. Be the I am your banker, your shepherd, your provider, your doctor, your good physician. Lord, oh God, whatever we as your people need today, be that to us. We rest, O God, in knowing that there are no impossibilities with you, and because we believe in you, and our believing, our faith, is not even ours, it is yours. We say, Lord, O God, today, let your faith produce mountain removing situations for us. We trust you. We believe in you. We surrender our lives to you. And we say, let your kingdom come. Let your will even now be done in the earth as it is in heaven. We give you praise for all things, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen.